Okay. So, John chapter 16, rolling into there. Assurances regarding our mission. I've entitled these first 15 verses. So, what are some assurances regarding our mission? Well, he kind of just introduced the mission, those last two verses, as our Bibles are divided. In our English Bibles, most of them are divided there after verse 27. So, he continues that thought through verses 15. So, let's read these. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you, because he's going to depart. Verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. So, adversity against the mission we see in verses 1 through 4. I've got a bunch of P words here. Preface, persecution, presumption, perdition, perseverance 1 and perseverance 2. I don't think we'll get that far tonight, but let's look at the preface. Well, at the chapter division, I already kind of mentioned that, that Jesus is preparing them for the heated opposition. And this, again, transitions where he starts talking about the Spirit comes a little bit more, is a little bit more prevalent now in his discourse. The Holy Spirit, there's a lot of misrepresentation of the Holy Spirit today, but thankfully we have the Word of God to explain to us, to show us exactly what the Spirit does, what his prerogative is, what his mission is, and a little bit of maybe how he accomplishes that. So persecution, again, we've already seen that he promised they would lose their social standing. Notice it says they will kick you out of the synagogues. What is a synagogue? It's not a political place. It's not just a social hangout. It's not a sports bar. It's not a whatever other thing. It is for the purpose of worship, right? And these people who are in Christ, who have learned to worship God in spirit and in truth, are being kicked out of what? The places where you go to worship God. Right? Now that's an irony, is it not? A sad irony. And he even says in the next verse, the people who are going to persecute you, they think they're doing God a favor. Because they're getting these Christians out of here. These polytheists out of here, right? Jesus is a God too. Oh, so there must be multiple gods. No, God is one. Well, no, we say God is one. He's one being. But he's three in person. He's one being, three persons. One what and three whos. And again, Jesus is very clearly spelled out that Jesus is God. It's very clearly spelled out that the Holy Spirit is God. It's very clearly spelled out the Father is God. But it's also very clearly spelled there's only one God. So if Jesus is God, and the Spirit is God, and the Father is God, and there's only one God, Trinity, the triune one, three persons, one being. Now, what's interesting to throw a wrench into that, Jesus is one of the persons, but he has two natures. Because he took on a human nature 2,000 years ago. The Word, the eternal Word who was with God and who was God, became flesh and took on a human nature. So you have a divine nature in the Son of God, and you have a human nature in the Son of God. So one person, two natures. Okay, so the presumption, the persecution is they would lose their social standing for maybe like they were heretics because they were worshiping Jesus and he was just a man, or for whatever reasons they were persecuted, and such is the threat, again, of not going with the flow today. You can be ousted very easily if you don't toe the line of evangelicalism. Well, let me tell you something. If I see a line of evangelicalism, I see most toes on that line, I don't want to be lining up with them anyway. So, be that as it may, I think that it's pretty clear that a lot of toes on that line are less and less worried about going through and literally fearing the Word of God. Because I'm just seeing them skip and dance all around a lot of this stuff. God whispers about sexuality and stuff. He's not too concerned about that, but he screams at social injustice. Oh, really? So Sodom and Gomorrah was just a whisper. So when it says that homosexuals, adulterers, murderers, thieves will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, that's just a whisper. And folks, these are our leading top evangelicals. And they are going to look down their nose at us like we're a bunch of backwards hillbillies fundamentalists. Folks, let me tell you something. I am not a fundamentalist. Never will be. As long as I'm here, this will never be an independent Baptist church. Capital I. Because those kind of fundamentalists, the women, you ain't going to wear no pants. You're going to have to wear church. You ain't going to wear no makeup. You can't wear no earrings. You're going to wear dresses. And that is fundamentalism. And we ain't going there as long as I'm here. So, but that's what we're caricatured as. You know, and I'm sick and tired of people trying to pigeonhole you. If they don't like your stance, what they'll do is they'll try to pigeonhole you and narrow you down. And what they'll do is build a caricature of you and then knock you over. They'll build a straw man and knock it over. Well, I've learned to say, well, you know what? I don't believe that either. It's just like when the atheists go, oh, your God, you know, the God of the Bible is, or that God is a bully, you know, and he's a misogynist, he's a homophobe, he's a xenophobe, he's this and that and the other. I don't believe in that God. You know what I say? I don't either. I don't believe in that God either. It's not the God in the Bible, though. You see, I've learned not to let them pigeonhole you. Don't let them get away with these characters. Don't let them get away of grouping you in with, you know, it's so funny. It's like, it's just silly. It's like if you were a Trump supporter, you're a Nazi. You're a deplorable. No, I can vote for whoever I want to vote for, and it doesn't make me anything. It doesn't make me anything but who I am. But you're trying to group people. This whole group mentality, this group think, this whole identity politics stuff, how's that working for us? Let me tell you something. I've never seen this country so more divided than I have right now. But we ought not be, and I'm not concerned about that. It's just when they try to get away with it, they don't get away with Chris Hall. Because Homie, don't play that. Y'all remember that? We're out of time. I can't believe I ended on homie, don't play that. But we need to pray. Heavenly Father, we do realize that you are a God of humor. In fact, you invented it. You gave it to us. You enjoy it. And we don't have to take ourselves too seriously. But Lord, we do need to learn as your church to be able to endure. And we can. We can endure the persecution. We can endure the discrimination. We can endure that. However, we're not to be mats to be walked over. We are to be meek, but we are to be bold. We're not to cower in the corner and just know our place and just be still and shut up. Because if we open our mouth on anything like life or abortion or murder or sexuality, then we're getting political. But we know we're just maintaining that we're maintaining biblical values and priorities and attitudes and motives. So, Lord, help us to know when to endure this discrimination without saying a thing. Because sometimes it's not right for us to bite back or to stand. And let us, when it is time to take a stand, give us wisdom. Let us remember how you talked to the Pharisees or how Paul talked to the Judaizers and wrote about them and talked to them and even to Peter face to face when he had to rebuke Peter. So let us know. Let us gain our wisdom and our discernment from growing and being nurtured in your word. And yes, we can ask and get counsel from one another. That's why we are here. In fact, I've sought counsel just recently with some of my parishioners on issues that I'm not an expert in. So we are here for one another, and your spirit resides with us. So just help us to tap in and to prayerfully and intentionally aim at that. Aim at you and aim at your word when we're seeking wisdom. It's not wise to ask those who we already know who are just going to affirm us. But it's wise to get counsel that we know that may be bitter, but we know in the end it's the truth. So, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your spirit that you have given us to endure and to enjoy and to prevail as we march forward as Christian soldiers, albeit in a different fashion. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.